Well, welcome everyone. Pastor David here on Sunday the 14th of March. And our theme today, as we continue working our way through John's Gospel in chapter 18, our theme in these verses as Jesus appears before Pilate is who's in charge? Who's the real king? Who has the power? And our opening hymn reminds us that the whole of heaven acclaims that Jesus is King. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Have your Bibles and would like to turn to John chapter 18. John 18, and we're going to pick it up at verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice."
"And what is truth?" Pilate asked. Then Pilate went back inside to the people and said to them, "I cannot find any reason to condemn him, but according to your customs, you have to set a prisoner free during the Passover. Do you want me to set free the King of the Jews?" They answered him with a shout, "No, not him. We want Barabbas."
Thank you, Pauline, for those closing verses of that reading. And we turn to prayer. So, Father God, as we come to you once again, we bow before your majesty and we seek the Holy Spirit's help to enable us to crown the Lord Jesus, the King of our lives. Amen. Well, on the 1st of January 1962, at an audition in London, the music group there went through their full routine of 15 songs, and at the end of the session, the recording director of Decca Records met with the group's manager and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Epstein, but there's no future for bands like that." And so Dick Rowe of Decca Records went down in music history as the man who turned down the Beatles. And history's full of people who fail to spot what should have been blatantly obvious. And so the Apostle John makes sure that no one makes that kind of mistake when reading the Gospel. And so in the closing chapters, chapter 20, verse 31, he says this, "This is written," in other words, all that had been written up to that point, "This is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Jesus is Christ, John says. He is the King. But when we see the cross, as these chapters will take us to in the following verses, chapter 19 and onwards, when we see the cross, well, it appears that Jesus is anything but King. And so this morning, we look at this trial, Jesus' trial before Pilate, with the question, well, who is in charge? Who has the power? And I suppose if you'd been there on that day, the obvious answer, looking at that situation, the obvious answer would have been Pontius Pilate. He's the one who has the power. Pontius Pilate is in charge of everything. He's got a palace. He's got enormous power. He just clicks his fingers and Jesus is flogged. There's a large army. And in the verses that we read, he reminds Jesus that he holds the power of life and death. And so, who's in charge? Well, it's obviously Pilate. Or is he? because as I look at verse 33, I read, Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? And as I read those words, we find that Pilate himself is now being questioned by Jesus, and it's uncomfortable for Pilate. He becomes quite agitated. Jesus has just been speaking about the truth, and so Pilate asks, what is truth? On asking the question, he just ups and leaves the room. Mighty Rome's representative is not having a very good day. And by chapter 19, he's a quivering wreck. Chapter 19, verse 8, I read, When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And so we have to say that very clearly Pilate's not the one in charge. So who is in charge? Well, I suppose we might say, well, it's the Jews, the Jewish leaders. And I remind you again, as we've done throughout John's Gospel, that whenever John mentions the Jews, he's not talking about the ordinary Jewish people. He's always referring to the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews. So perhaps it's these people who are in charge. They're very powerful people. But in verse 1 they say, look, we don't have the right to put anyone to death under our law. We don't have the power to do that. The only way they could do it is to rely on others. They have no real power of their own. And so as we look into this situation, and we continue to ask the question, who is in charge? There's only one candidate left, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who is in control. Verse 32 again, this was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Everything that was happening was to fulfill what Jesus had already said would happen. All that is happening is God's plan. The plan that Jesus should die on a Roman cross. It's not chance, not some kind of fate or accident that Jesus has been taken. All that has happened and will happen is part of Jesus' plan. See, Jesus really is the sovereign one. He really is the king who is in control. But of course he's a very different king to all the other kings. And that's what he tells Pilate there in verse 36. He says, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Now, Jesus is not saying in those words that I've just read out to you, he's not saying that he's a king of some alien world out there. Not this world, but some alien world. Of course not. He very recently taught his disciples to pray, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. What Jesus is telling Pilate is that his kingdom operates in a totally different way to the world's kingdoms. Worldly kingdoms are kept in place by military might and power. But Jesus didn't come to conquer by the sword. He didn't come to conquer by fighting. That's not Jesus' way. And so the so-called evangelical Christians in the United States who responded to Trump's call to fight were wrong. That's not following Jesus' way. Jesus really is the king. But he fights and wins and is victorious in a totally different way. And so Pilate says to Jesus, "You are a king then." Verse 37. "So you are a king," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." You see, Jesus' kingdom is all about the truth. And as we've seen on our journey through John's Gospel, Jesus is himself the truth. He was introduced to us in chapter 1 as the one full of grace and truth. And later Jesus told his followers, "I am the way, I am the truth and the life." Jesus himself is the truth. And he was born to reveal the truth about God, the truth about sin and Satan, and the world and its fall. And so Pilate says to Jesus, as he listens, "What is truth?" Jesus' kingdom is about the truth. Because you see, the world has fallen for a lie. It's a huge satanic lie that says that God is not good. He's not a good king. And you don't want to be following a king like God. He'll keep you down and he'll stop you enjoying yourself. He's a mean God, a mean king. And humanity has believed Satan's lies. They bought into the lie. And so now they utterly turn their backs upon God and reject God's rule and live completely for self. And of course, our self is a sinful self. It's the kind of self that makes me completely in charge of my life as number one. I become God, living life my way. And so Jesus' truth is that his kingship and rule turns the whole of that on its head. Instead of asking people to fight for him, well, he fights for us. And the way he fights is by dying on a cross. And the way he wins is by losing. Someone called it an upside-down kingdom. Jesus rules not by the sword, but by his word. He speaks truth. And so God's kingdom spreads by the word of truth and not by terror. Spreads by sacrifice, not by strength. Spreads by faith, and not by force. And that truth, the truth of Jesus, is being spoken by Jesus through his word again this morning. So the question comes to us, are you listening? Because the truth is that there is a higher throne than the thrones that we see around us and the throne of our own heart and life. There is a higher throne. And Jesus invites each one of us to vacate the throne of our hearts and our lives and to let him come in and occupy our heart, our life, and to rule. He's sovereign Lord. He is the King. He is in charge. So whatever your situation this morning as you're listening to these words, whether you're worried at this particular time or particularly lonely, or maybe it's a great and joyful time for you, going through a period where everything's wonderful, or maybe it's a time of suffering, deep pain, whatever. See, the truth is that if Jesus is your Saviour, he stands before you as the risen, all-powerful, all-conquering, sovereign King, And so in the words of Pilate, the invitation comes to us this morning with all our individual issues and difficulties, and we say, behold your King. If Jesus can handle the cross, if Jesus can handle powerful men like Pilate and handle all the trials, if he can handle the world's lies about him, if he can handle satanic power, well then, brothers and sisters, he can handle your day today. He can handle your week ahead and on through your life. So keep listening to his truth. Keep living the truth so that we can say with the old hymn, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. So let's use the words of a hymn as a prayer now as we close. So, Father, we pray in these words, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. And were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So we close with this song that we've mentioned earlier, pointing us to the higher throne where our King Jesus reigns forevermore.